from the guilty pleasures.
Kylie Jenner to the foyer. I have a little surprise for you.
Some chicken!
To the thrill of the rose.
This is the tough part. Unfortunately, there's going to have to be people that go home tonight.
And the jaw-dropping scandals.
You know, I wasted everyone's money. I wasted everyone's everything, and I feel bad.
I cheated on
two in one weekend.
Welcome to Watch With Us.
Watch With Us.
An inside look into your favorite TV shows, which delivers the latest TV news that you want to know about. Here's your host,
ladies and gentlemen,
Us Weekly's Emily Longaretta.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Watch With Us podcast. I am your host, Emily Longaretta. Thank you guys all so much for tuning in as always, and I hope you all are staying safe and sane during this time. If you need a distraction, as a reminder, you can listen on Spotify to new episodes of the Watch With Us podcast every week. This week is a special episode because we are at 100 episodes. I'm so thrilled to still be hosting this show for you guys. When I launched it, I was really excited to dive in and talk about new TV shows and old TV shows that I love and that I'm interested in, and hear from you guys, the listeners, on what you're watching, what questions you have, what TV stars you love or don't like. I've had some really great guests over the past 100 episodes, and hopefully we have many more to come. This week, we have a great interview with Hillary Burton. She makes her debut on this week's Council of Dads on NBC. She also has a new book out called The Rural Diaries, where she talks about her marriage to Jeffrey Dean Morgan. She talks a lot about her fertility struggles and her life after leaving One Tree Hill and everything that kind of happened with the creator Mark Schwann and the allegations that came out against him, and really how it impacted her career and her personal life. So if you can order that book online, if you can check it out, it's definitely a great read. And you can also see her on NBC this week. But for now, I will let her take it away.
I want to start off by saying thank you, how incredible you are making all these masks, because I'm blown away. My sister's a nurse, so I couldn't say thank you enough.
Thank your sister. Where is she right now?
Seattle. So it's a little crazy, but
yeah,
she's hanging in there, so that's all that matters. So
good.
Definitely. So I read your book in a day and a half.
We saw your post.
Thank you. Yes, thank you for the tweet. I loved it. Yeah.
Really, really nice. I've been having a day that day. So your note was really nice.
Oh, I'm glad. Why? I know you've been working on this for a while. Why was now kind of the right time to write the book and release it?
Yeah, I mean, I spent a couple years on the book. To be perfectly honest, I started writing the book when I joined social media. I was very resistant to joining social media. I didn't like the falsehoods that were being put out there about, look how perfect my life is. Look at my cute butt in a bikini on a beach. I felt like it set a standard that wasn't realistic and made people feel bad about themselves. I personally felt bad about myself looking at these glamorous lifestyles. And so when I joined social media, I think I tried hard to focus on like realistically beautiful things. Like these are my flowers. They're surrounded by weeds, but like these are my nice flowers. These are my muddy children, you know? And writing the book really was about dispelling a lot of that mythology. You know, things can look really beautiful, but there's hard work and there's sadness at times when you don't know. And so leaning into failure and looking at it through a different lens was important to me. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see the fun in failure. I wanted to see the other side of it and create a roadmap for anybody that's perhaps negotiating it in the moment. I don't like the bullshit, guys.
I love that. That's what I was kind of, and I said this in my tweet, like I read a lot of celebrity memoirs and I enjoy some, but some are a lot about like my glamorous life.
Oh
like,
my God, it's so cute.
I'm growing up on a farm. I don't know what you're talking about. So it's like refreshing to see that. You touched on a lot of really personal things in the book. What was there a toughest thing to touch on? Was there something you were kind of hesitant to go into?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I wrote the book as a love letter, and I say that to my community, to my farm, to my husband. I think the book for me was a lot about copying to my own crap. You know, I did have postpartum with my son. I didn't know I did because I was in the fog of it. But I wasn't fun to be around. And I was severely depressed after I had my first miscarriage. And was in the fog of it and keeping myself busy with all these different activities. And I can look at it now and see how self-destructive I was. And so if someone can look at my narrative and say, oh God, I'm feeling that, or I have felt that, you know, A, I'm not alone, but B, how do I get out of it? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I wanted to touch on it because it will make the next person who's feeling it perhaps feel less alone.
Yeah, for sure. Did you talk to Jeffrey beforehand, like, here's what I want to include, or were you kind of like, hey, I'm done with this and this is what's happening? Because there is a lot of really emotional stuff about him as well.
Yeah, he has been so supportive and knew that I sat down to write a book about the farm, and I think it was supposed to be a little bit cuter, and I just felt like a fraud. So he would see me staying up till like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and just emotionally drained writing it. And he was so generous with his own privacy in allowing me to put this out there. Cause it isn't just me, it's our story. And I can't thank him enough for letting me like process in this way. I talk in the book about how my family, our coping mechanism in my family is to take the bad stuff and turn it into a story, turn it into a narrative, and it helps you process. And a lot of therapists will tell you to do that. They're like, keep a journal, write it down. And so for me, you know, the aspects of being a woman in the entertainment industry and having to deal with that, being a woman whose body betrayed her, having to deal with that, being a woman who isolated herself on a farm and had to learn how to actually like herself, that was hard. Yeah. And so the gift that he's given me is being able to put this out there and invade his personal bubble. He's a good man.
This week's show is brought to you by BetterHelp. In these challenging times, if you're feeling down or anxious, or there's just something interfering with your happiness or your ability to get things done, then it is time to get a little help so you can be your best self and reach all your goals. BetterHelp is a great way to connect with the right counselor in a secure and private online environment. You can talk to someone when and how you want on your own time at your own pace, and anything you share is confidential. BetterHelp individually assesses what your needs are and ensures that you are connected with a licensed professional therapist that is right for you. You choose whether you talk through text, chat, phone, or video, and of course, everything you share is confidential. So whether it's anxiety, family conflicts, stress, or relationships, BetterHelp is there to help you. BetterHelp is available on desktop, mobile web, Android, and iOS apps. All you need to do to get started is fill out a simple questionnaire to help them assess your needs and match you up with the right counselor. And by the way, you can always request a new one if you're not completely satisfied. Best of all, BetterHelp is a more affordable option than traditional face-to-face counseling, and financial aid is available for those who qualify. I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/watchwithus. Join over 800,000 people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/watchwithus.
I really loved that we, you know, people who have spoken out about miscarriages and struggles with fertility, we never really see like the male reaction side to it. And I thought it was so interesting that you talked a lot about how you guys handled it so differently. And at times it was really hard for you as a couple as well.
Truly. The false narrative that gets projected, especially by like the celebrity angle, is we went through this hard thing and it brought us closer together. And so I felt like a total failure because that wasn't happening for me, you know? Until you go through that first really horrible thing together, you don't know how your partner is going to react. You don't know what they need. And what he needed was for me to be communicative, and he needed me to be strong and calm about it and like, let's process calmly. And I'm a bombastic person. I needed to slam doors and cry really hard and yowl. And so I feel like I read a book when it was given to me by my very good friend when I was going through all of it, and I had no idea the male perspective. And it was called Vessels, and it's written from the perspective of the husband. And that was such a good tool for me, to be able to see his perspective. And it softened me in a way. Mm-hmm. And so if our book can soften someone else who's feeling bombastic, good, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
There's no right or wrong way to process grief. And so if we can show how two very different sides eventually meet in the middle, okay.
Definitely. And I thought it was interesting that even just throughout the book, you guys, you know, you talk about how you guys met and how you started dating and everything that happened. You were so, like, it didn't sugarcoat that, like, sometimes things suck. Sometimes we disagreed a lot. I thought that was just so refreshing and something that we don't really hear from the celebrities that are like, we're in this really happy relationship and we love each other so much.
I'll tell you. So I had your job for 5 years. Like, I was a VJ at TRL for 5 years and I had to interview every celebrity couple and they all gushed about how perfect their life was. And, you know, then things would go south or, you know, like something bad would happen. And I didn't ever want to feed that machine. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to be earnest. I love my husband more than anybody. I think he's fantastic. I also think sometimes I'm really high strung and he'll leave his socks on the floor and that will make me insane. And perhaps that's what every wife or partner feels. Yeah. I don't know. I set out to write a farming book and I guess I wrote a book about marriage. Marriage is a garden. You have to fertilize it to get rid of the weeds. There's going to be weeds. You have to pull them.
Mm-hmm, for sure. You, in the beginning, you said that you, one thing that shocked me and I literally took note of it right away because you had said that you were surprised that he was into you and that it caught you off guard.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I'm the loud girl. So like nobody ever asked me out. I had to be really like aggressive. Nobody ever asked me out. He was probably like the first dude that really like courted me. He like sent packages to my house and was really just like, we're going to be together. And it was charming and I loved it. And you know, I got like a thing of flowers today on the front porch. I was like, what am I getting flowers for? That's just Jeffrey Dean.
No big deal.
This episode is brought to you by Hask. Did you know that Hask hair care products are used on more Hollywood film and TV sets than any other hair care brand? Well, no wonder, as Hask offers good-for-you formulas that won't break the bank, including shampoos, conditioners, deep conditioners, shine oils, and dry shampoos that are designed to treat and repair all hair types, and made from clean ingredients sourced from around the globe. Hask's Biotin Boost Thickening Collection features a triple threat of ingredients sure to give fine, lifeless strands the lift they need. Biotin helps strengthen, volumize, and thicken to maintain hair health. Coffee stimulates the hair follicles, helping to boost strands. Collagen helps strengthen and fortify the hair shaft to protect from damage and breakage. Together, they enhance the appearance of thicker hair without leaving it feeling heavy. I switched the Biotin Boost Thickening Shampoo, and it has really helped my hair grow strong, and I highly recommend it. All Hask products are color safe, free of sulfates, parabens, phthalates, artificial colors, and gluten, while formulated to meet the needs of your specific hair type. They're also cruelty-free, and because of their ingredient-inspired fragrances, they smell incredible. The Hask Biotin Boost Thickening Collection and other Hask products are available on Amazon.com, as well as online and in-store at Ulta, Walmart, Walgreens, Target, and CVS. And we're excited to announce that Hask is now hosting weekly giveaways for our listeners where you can win a $100 prize pack that includes shampoos, conditioners, leave-in sprays, dry shampoos, and more. For your chance to win, enter the giveaway at haskbeauty.com/watch. That's haskbeauty.com/watch. And we thank them for sponsoring this podcast.
So you talk in the book about the Me Too movement, obviously, the big impact it had on your life, and especially at such a hard time for you that no one knew that you were going through this difficult time at the same time all this was coming out. One thing that really surprised me was you had talked about how you spoke out to Variety, how you told your story, and you'd said, like, you know, in your mind you were thinking, like, I might not ever work again, and that's fine. Did you part of you really think like I might not get this again?
I still think, you know, you Google my name and these stories come up. And for anybody that's hiring, why would you hire me if you could hire someone that's unproblematic? I have this bad habit of saying what I think, and that's not always well received. So yeah, I still think, I hope that that's not the case, but I don't know. I don't know how many jobs I've been up for that I didn't get the call because they were like, that one, she's trouble.
I think that's a positive. You know, the way you explain it, that's a positive thing. I think women probably want to work with you because they know that they have a teammate.
Well, yeah, the people that I do work with, it's once I left One Tree Hill, it changed how I took jobs. And so I don't take jobs with people that I don't know. I would never sign up for a series with people that I don't know because it's like signing up for a 6-year marriage. And how do I know that you're not a psycho or, you know, you don't have a God complex or, you know, there's not all sorts of layers of drama. So every single job I've taken has been the result of a pre-existing relationship. And that's worked for me. You know, I think that's a healthy way to handle our business, which can be, you know, it's a weird business. You know that. So sure. Yeah, the relationship angle has become my focus as opposed to the ambition angle, which is like, I want to be a movie star. You know, I don't want to be a movie star. I want to make nice things with people I love. Mm-hmm. And sure. It's a different way to do it.
Definitely. And I assume that it kind of factors in that where you guys live and when Jeffrey has to go and do Walking Dead and you kind of do you guys kind of take turns when you're filming now? Like, all right.
We try to. We definitely try to. So I would hire like a babysitter when I would take a job. You know, I didn't work very much once my son was born. And when I did work, it was pretty sporadic, you know, like a Christmas movie is a 3-week shoot. So I don't need a full-time nanny. I just need somebody to help me for 3 weeks. And so we had some really lovely people that entered our world and would help me with those little pockets of time here and there. But we just hired our first nanny in September. And so I was able to go do Council of Dads. I was able to, you know, like do more work stuff. And that was exciting. But I also was like, God, I like being home with my kids a lot. And once everything shut down, you know, I don't want my nanny coming over here. I don't want to endanger her. I don't want to break any rules. And so we are 100% on our own here. And so, yeah, it changes how you pick your work. Mm-hmm. You know, you prioritize kid first, always kid first. And then like the farm, the animals don't give a shit if I get cast in something. And so, you know, work becomes this lower place on the totem pole. So it has to be really special and it has to be something that you love.
Yeah, absolutely. How has the quarantine been for you being at home all the time with the kids and with Jeffrey?
Yeah. I do this with my kids every summer. You know, the second that my son's out of school, we hunker down. And so it's kind of normal for us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I'm trying to put so much energy into helping other people because I know that it's not their normal. Yeah. And so if we can be supportive and manage our stuff with like good mental health and, you know, like take care of our angle and have that leftover energy, it absolutely has to go into taking care of people who are on the front line or essential workers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. Well, my last thing, we've been asking everyone we've talked to kind of just say a thank you message to the healthcare workers. If you want to just a quick one.
My healthcare worker friends, healthcare workers all over the place. I cannot thank you enough. I'm so humbled by your bravery and your resilience. And I cannot wait to hug as many of you as possible when we get the green light. Thank you. You guys are heroes.
Awesome. Hillary, thank you so much. I really appreciate
it. Thank you. I so appreciate it.
Absolutely. Take care. And I'm sure hopefully you'll stay safe and get to travel again soon.
We'll see you on the other side.
All righty. Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Bye, honey.
All right, guys, as always, thank you so much for listening. We are going to wrap up with a few shout outs. My woman of the week goes to Michelle Obama because Becoming, the new documentary, is now out on Netflix. It's not the best documentary the way it's set up. It's a little bit all over the place, but there's some really, really interesting tidbits that come out of it. It's pretty emotional. I think a lot of the people in the time right now need something to make them feel good. This could definitely be it. It definitely made me feel good, so I would check that out. My woman to watch is Linda Cardellini. Dead to Me season 2 hits Netflix this Friday. Obviously, Christina Applegate is also incredible, but Linda Cardellini really, really stood out to me. This season is a must watch. I bet if you start watching on Friday, you will be finished with it over the weekend. And then my last what to watch, there's a lot of finales this week, shows wrapping up, but 9-1-1, the finale is Monday night. Connie Britton is back for the last episode of the season. I am so, so excited about this show. I've loved it from the beginning and she's so incredible. So cannot wait. As always, guys, thank you so much for listening. As a reminder, you can reach out to me on social media at Emily Longaretta. Let me know what TV you're watching and loving. I will do my best to get some guests on that you guys really, really love. As a reminder, you can listen on Spotify to new episodes of the podcast. You can also subscribe on iTunes, leave us a comment, let us know what you think, give us 5-star rating. It's very, very appreciated. All right, guys, stay safe, stay sane, and we'll chat with you next week.